Exodus 23:31, I will fix your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea and from the Eastern wilderness to the Euphrates rivers. I will hand over you the people now living in the land, and you will drive them out ahead of you. Take the land you are in that God has called you to. Take it. Let God take it and drive everybody else out. This is where you dial in. You're an inch wide, a mile deep. You are taking over the industry in that area. Right now, we have another service that is just absolutely crushing it. And that is because I went and I'm like, I'm going to take this land. And God revealed to me these great ideas. And so you've got to take the land and let God push everybody out before you move on. Those are all distractions because we're entrepreneurs, visionaries. We want to do.
Like I said, I don't even have a name for this thing yet. So welcome back. I'm here with Scott Ramage. And Scott, I'm really excited to have you on because you are a very personal and close confidant. I would consider you a deep friend and mentor. And so this is really exciting because you have blown my mind recently with some of the stuff you're telling me about your current business and also have seen into my life to help me understand how to do this as a Christian. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you. I'm great. I'm excited to be here. When I was invited to be on, I felt very blessed. So you're a great podcast host. I've been on other podcasts with you. So I'm pumped.
Well, thank you. And that's, I'm going to get there in a sec in terms of like other projects. But we're just going to jump right in because I think like the thing that you're working on right now is called Hire VP. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So we'll get there. But the first thing I want to talk about is your, for me, it was interesting to look at your LinkedIn. Like, I don't even know some of the stuff that I found on there because I know about the bike shop. I know about, something about a gym, but I looked and it's like, you're a teacher, but you owned a bike shop at the same time. And you also shortly thereafter had a CrossFit gym. And then you became what looks like either a contractor or employee. And then you have this other business now. Can you just walk me through like the 30,000 foot view? And then I want to talk about sort of the fundamental bikes lesson and then get into what you're doing now. Can you just like,
oh my gosh,
how does that work?
Oh yeah. Wow. So I'm old. Maybe not to everybody, but compared to you, yes, I've had overnight success. So I got a bachelor's degree in psychology. I started in social work, ended up working right out of college for $26,000 a year, managing a treatment facility. So really big job with juvenile sex offenders. And Yeah, that was fun. And then I went and got my master's degree in education. Definitely felt called to be in the classroom or impacting youth. Graduated with a master's degree in 2001 and went right into teaching and realized really fast that I was super efficient at that job and would get really bored. Not during the day, but when all the teachers said, oh, I'm at home, you know, grading papers all night, I'm like just scratching my head like, what? I loved creating content. Curriculum. I loved doing all the things. I was good at it. Parents liked me. Students liked me. At that time, administration liked me. And I was just kind of left going, wow, like, am I supposed to do this the rest of my life? Because I work from like 7:30 to 3. And then so I got really involved in skate ministry. I was skateboarding because I was a longtime skateboarder. So I'd take kids after school to skate park, did a skate ministry. And then in, what year was it? 2004? I started, I was a master bike mechanic when I was in grad school. I raced mountain bikes and road bikes. And so I started wrenching on bikes. And then that I opened up 300 square foot little place, started selling bikes. And before I knew it, I had a 3,000 square foot bike shop with 6 full-time employees. And I was working that. And being an educator, I was no longer bored, obviously.
So you were both a full-time teacher and you own this place.
Yes.
Okay. How did that work?
Not well. Okay. The business worked well. I was doing great revenue. I was making money. But I was misaligned in my own identity as the bike shop guy and the teacher. And, then there's this husband, dad thing at that point. And I think God kind of just like spoke to me one day. I know he did. That's a whole nother story. And said, like, what are you doing, dude? And, And so I decided to sell the bike shop. And that's a whole nother story. In the 11th hour of that, I kept all the inventory because I had a buyer. So I kept all the inventory, had a meeting to meet the new buyer, pass over the keys, everything. Like, we were at that level. He calls me and he says, "Hey, I was in on the way in and I changed my mind." I'm like, wait, what? He changed his mind. And so here I am, all my inventory. I just took a new inventory cycle. And you have like 120 days to pay the inventory cycle. And I'd committed to my wife. I was closing this out so I could pay more attention to my family, get to know how to be a father and a husband again. And, oh, never mind. So I, instead of like keeping the shop open and, you know, letting it ride itself out, I just closed it down. Incurred, when my wife was doing books, she said about $320,000 in debt, like overnight, because like all of that
inventory and stuff.
Yep. And so over the next years, just ran through depression, still didn't know how to be a father and a dad. And, you know what, Kurt? We've paid all that off, my wife and I. We didn't file bankruptcy. We just decided, you know what? We're not those people. We're going to make it work. We borrowed, begged, and we didn't steal, but we have paid it all off. And since then, I found other lines of work. But I am an entrepreneur. I mean, there's just no way around it. Like at that time in my life, work was all I knew. Work and riding my bike was all I knew. And so it was very clear to me that long-term teaching, although very rewarding and I was making an impact, was not going to be the long-term play, because the education was changing so much and I was being stripped of any creativity as a teacher or any autonomy as a teacher or any accountability for my students as a teacher. And in 2012, I had that moment of, I am not doing this anymore. There was more to it than that. But so I had taught at that point when I left, would be 12 years, owned a bike shop for 5 years, and then got depressed for 2 years, then did a direct sales, was very successful in a direct sales company, which gave me the financial security to actually walk away from teaching. So, and other businesses in the line of that. Got bored with the direct sales company, because, you know, we built up a team, a base, and income was coming in, and I'm like, I'm not working anymore. What the heck am I gonna do? Opened a gym, and then sold that to move to Texas, and then consult all sorts of other things. Yeah,
okay,
quite the journey.
I'm just thinking about that in terms of like my own identity. Because I still, for better or worse, and you know, God is continuing to convict me on this, there is a lot of identity in like, yes, I'm a Christian, but like, dude, I'm an entrepreneur. I am a business person. Like, I cannot get a job. And it sounds like you didn't necessarily get a job in so much as like work consulting or leading something for someone else. But even to have that gap of going back to teach, and I guess that's probably where that depression came in. Was it because you were like still misaligned and you're like, wow, I now am not doing what I wanted to do. I'm $300,000 in debt. And I'm going back to just being a teacher while still committing to being a dad and husband, which I don't have any like clue how to do.
Nailed
was
it.
Was that? Okay. How'd you get out of that then?
Yeah. I mean, my identity was teacher and the bike guy. So my time was completely capped out. People wanted to go on bike rides with me. I was always doing these things. I was the guy. Everybody came to me. You know, it went from full on to, hey, I can't get you that stuff anymore. All my friends all of a sudden weren't friends anymore. It was like, wow. So I had this identity in being the bike guy. And spending all my time to that, saying, hey, I'm going to devote my time to my family. I'm still going to ride bikes. Well, then all of a sudden, nobody wants to anymore. And it's the thing that drove me into this place. And so now I'm pushing it away reluctantly because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know who I am. I literally don't know who I am. So I'm just sitting there with my family, spending time with my young boys at that time at the park, going, I don't even know how to interact with them. Like, it was that bad. And my identity was gone, stripped. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, this was all a lie. What the heck am I going to do now? So I got fat. I got depressed. I was desperate, man. It was ridiculous. And, you know, went down some deep, dark holes in those 2 years. And just thank goodness. I will tell you, Kurt, and I'm sorry if anybody's in multi-level marketing, I can't stand it now. But it also was the thing, I was attracted to it because it brought me self-development and leadership. It was very strong in that. And I went down this like intense self-improvement thing, and it really called me out. And then I was able to realign my identity a little bit. It wasn't until about 4 years ago that I feel like I figured that out. But it's actually what got me out of that really, really bad place. So.
Okay. Well, that'd be thankful. There you go. For the God, things that God happened. Uses all sorts of things. Yeah. That's, yeah. That's wild. Okay. But you started this CrossFit gym, which again, like I know you had the VAs for gyms, but I don't even think I knew you actually owned like a box, yeah. Whatever you call it. Yep. Was that successful?
It was. I didn't own it for very long because I opened it, grew membership. My goal was, I think the first year to have 100 members. We hit it in 3 months, and most gyms just struggled to get there. CrossFit gyms struggle to get there like ever. So we had 100 members. We were kicking. We were really doing well. I built up a great youth program because of my teaching background. We had summer training programs. I was doing private, like Christian private schools. I was doing their PE programs, which nice. They would come in the day, and then their parents would come like, oh my gosh, this is a great place. I want to come. So we, like, by the time I sold the gym, I think the membership was 150. We were pretty much maxed out. It was a great business. I only owned it for like a year and maybe a half. I sold it to like my second coach that ever came in. I basically handed over a fabulous business to him. I was just starting to get it figured out where I'd coached like 5 classes a week. Everything else was taken care of. I'd gotten kind of good at this thing. And it's like, hey, let's relocate. God's calling us to Texas. The school systems were a little not the best
from Oregon, right?
Oh yeah. So it was like, I was, you know, coming from that position, I'm like, I do not want the kids in the schools I was teaching at because they're a mediocrity farm at best. So I've got to get out of here. And Texas was at the pinnacle of education, you know, very, very conservative. The teachers were very committed and professional. I'm like, we're out of here. So it was just, it was a short-term thing, but it got me in this world of fitness business. And so after that, I moved to Texas and I decided I'm just going to work out. We had this money coming in. We were making residual income, and I would work out like 2 times a day, do stuff around the house. And eventually I'm like, this is really boring. And I got recruited by a company. I was started to kind of put my hands out there. I got recruited by a home services company for customer service and sales. And I basically ended up creating a customer call center for them here in the Dallas area for multiple states, serving multiple states, and a sales center, inside sales team for them to serve the multiple states. Then I was recruited by a friend who was doing a fitness startup to do the same thing, except just mostly do sales for them and create their customer service. And so then I was contracted there for 3 years. So that's how I actually got my world, kind of stepped my feet into the world of VAs.
Right. Okay. So I want to get there in a sec, because I think like there's some, from what you were telling me, pretty insane numbers, which, like, you know, on the front, like, oh wow, we all want to know those numbers. And I do, that's part of this podcast. I'm like,
yeah,
I want to know more about business. Give me the case study, because like that motivates me. But the thing that I just took from everything you just said is like, there's at least 2 things there that you did the God thing, not the, oh, but this is my business thing. Like, you very well could have been like, oh, hey, sorry, Kim, like, I'm not shutting down this business because I've got $300,000 in debt, but you did it anyway. Second one is like, well, I've got a successful CrossFit gym, but we're moving to Texas because like there's bigger reasons here. I feel like that's something that's one of my traits, for better or worse. And I didn't realize it was one of your traits too. But I think when I'm seeing this in my own life, I look around at other people who are stuck. They're stuck because they're not willing to do these hard things, like shutting down dad work, like I'm sure much harder shutting down a place where you're going to be $300,000 in debt. Do you know why you were able to do those things? Like, help me out here, because I don't really know why, other than I just want to do the right thing. How do guys get off the X there?
That's a really good question. You know, I've been a Christian my entire life, and I'm kind of funny. I don't have real vivid memories. I have some crazy stories, and I actually forget them. Like meeting a bear face to face multiple times. Like, I never tell those stories. People don't even know that. I'm like, oh yeah, that was really scary. You know, like all these weird things, these stories I have, sometimes I'll be just talking to someone. I'm like, oh, let me tell you a story. I'm like, I had totally hidden that. Well, I have some very vivid moments, and those are definitely God moments. So when I was working at the bike shop, I would leave at 4 a.m. I would go there and do a bunch of admin work, go to the gym that was right next to it, go home, shower. I'd be home for like 15 minutes, ride my bike. Of course, you know, bike life, ride my bike to school, work, ride my bike to the bike shop, work, go home at 8 or 9. That was my life. On the weekends, I'd be gone for 5 or 6 hours a day mountain biking. I came home one evening, my wife, you know, I thought we were just growing apart and that she didn't understand me. I came home one evening, walked in the house, and we have a dining room right there at the side entrance. And my wife never left the table set ever. She just put away. There was this one time I came home, all the lights were off. Both of my boys were in bed already. My wife was asleep already. And there's a plate and a placemat on the table and nothing else. And it's almost like that totally, it was God's like, I'm going to hit you upside the head with reality really quick here, Scott. And I don't know, you know, I was a church attender. I was going through the motions, if you will, but it was an absolute 100% God moment of whoa. And I say now the scales fell from my eyes. I literally feel like I was looking through different lens. And it was, oh my gosh, I haven't seen anybody in my family today. And what do I have to show for it? Like, and so I approached my wife shortly after. I'm like, I don't know what to do, but I feel like I've really screwed up. And I just saw her countenance on her face completely change. Like, oh my gosh, you finally see it. But she was just kind of numbing herself through it and being like, this is just what it is. So we were living these parallel lives, right? We were best friends. We were friends before we dated. We've been married now 28 years. And it was weird, but God just literally spoke to me through a vision at that point, or the vision of seeing, it wasn't even vision, it was real, seeing reality, and it slapped me in the face all of a sudden. And I told her, I'm like, hey, we got to figure this out. So I went to another couple. She was a teacher and he was a business owner. I thought, perfect person to talk to. He's got this successful business and she's a teacher. So we went to them and we sat down. They were from our church. And he looked at me and he said, you need to shut the business down because teaching you will know what you're going to get paid. You don't go through all the trouble. And I just took it for what it was. The truth was, I didn't know this. He right after that, he went back to school to get his teaching degree. So he had had his focus on teaching. He sold his business right after that and went into teaching. And so his vision was completely biased because, you know, for me, I'm this entrepreneur. I love the business thing, but I think maybe that was God being like, yeah, Scott, you're an entrepreneur. You don't know how to do it right now. You don't know how to do it right. There's some lessons you have to learn before we get you to that point, because Scott, business, you will allow it to fill every single second of your life. And until you figure this thing out and you understand the importance of your family and you understand the importance of living a godly, Christ-centered life, and you understand the importance of putting your wife first only after me, we're not going to go there. We're not going to get you to the place you need to be right now, because we've got to break you down. We've got to completely destroy you and what you think your identity is to get you there. So it was a message that maybe I can see is it wasn't good, but I think it was God breathed. And so, that's how that happened with the bike shop.
Yeah. That's, there's so much in there, man. And I want that to go immediately into what you're doing now, because everything that you've been telling me over the last couple of years since we've been meeting, it's been really hard to see in the moment. And yet if I can like literally try, it's really hard to do for me. But if I try to extend myself into the future, which future thinking doesn't always come easy to me, I'm like, oh, this is Scott's journey. That's why he's telling me this, because he knows that I'm going to have to learn a bunch of things along the way so that I can get to where I say I want to go. And even in this business, you have told me, like, oh, you don't want my problems. I'm like, no, I think I do. You're like, yeah, but they're way bigger than yours. And that's like, that's said in so much love. And I don't think I really understood that until maybe earlier this week. And I'm sure I still don't, but it's like, man, there's never, and I said this on a podcast yesterday, there's never going to be the place in this life where the security that I'm looking for, that I think business offers me, will just be like, ah, everything's perfect now. Kurt, you don't have to worry again. That doesn't come until Christ embraces me in his arms when I die.
Right.
And that's been my mind-blowing aha moment. And yet, it's fun. We're doing life. This is God's call on your life. So from this place of having to earn it, basically, having to earn your stripes, so to speak, you were part of this business that was VA's something or other for gyms. You said it was doing pretty well, and then it wasn't. And now it's, I'll say, crushing it. Can you walk us through that and, you know, share any numbers that you think are, you know, available to share if you want to? Because I'm really inspired by this story.
I'll share any numbers. So I was doing this business. I was doing consulting for this other business. They kept promising me ownership shares, and they kept putting it off, you know? And here I am 3 years in going, okay, no salary increase, like the promises. I've traded this like I'm being an entrepreneur. I took you from 8 clients to 183 recurring clients. I've done every single sale for that. I've created your customer onboarding. I created your sales process. I've created your customer journey and your retention program, and I got nothing to show for it. And I started a podcast at that time, and the guy that I was contracting for, one of them, he's like, well, you need a VA, but you'll never be successful with it. So, you know, me being me, I'm like, oh, well, hold my beer, right? So I went and did the thing and had massive success. Long story short, I ended up with 3 VAs doing full-time work. And when I left that job, and there's a story behind this, but when I left that job, we created SOPs for everything I was doing. And the owners go, what the heck? We had no idea. And they had to hire multiple full-time people to fulfill what I was doing. Because again, I'd worked myself into this place where I was filling all my time with work. So the more work I offloaded to other people, the more work I was creating. I just want to improve things, right? And so then I took that energy and I'm like, I'm going to actually apply what I've learned about using virtual assistants to the fitness industry, because I'm working in the fitness industry. All these gym owners need it. They have no consistency in their admin. They have no social media presence. They want to do podcasts. They want to, like, and they don't know how to do it. And I do. Like, I've broken the code here. And so we started, a friend of mine and me, he started like pumping money into this thing saying, let's build a business. And so I started to build this business, him kind of being a mentor, encourager, and a little bit of a financial backer, me being the integrator, doer, creator. So we created this thing called VAs for Gyms, not the most creative name, but it was what it was. And then I walked away from my work and from my contract and did this full time. Golly, I think within 6 months, we were like 60K recurring revenue. Like, just our monthly recurring revenue was awesome. We were each taking more money than I'd ever taken in my life. By the way, we could talk about glass ceilings. I had my own built in for me. I didn't need a corporation to do that. I did it myself. But we were doing great. And then there was some partnerships are really hard. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I started to get a little disgruntled, like, what the heck am I doing? I keep building businesses for other people too. And he was an amazing man, but then he had some hardships in his life. So I bought him out. We had an agreement. I'm gonna buy this company from you. We were doing pretty well. We'd been doing it for a couple of years. And so we got an evaluation and I paid him and then put that credit card debt back into a, you know, an interest-free credit card transfer thing. I did all of those things, said no cash, none, guys, nothing, no retirement, nothing.
You guys are doing 60K a month right now as a business.
Yeah. We had actually dipped probably to about 45, and there's some stories in there, but what was happening, it was paying me, paying him, paying this other high-priced operator person. We were top heavy. And I was starting to like, dude, I can't afford to pay us this month. He's like, just put all our expenses on credit card and just pay us. And after a while, I'm like, this is not okay. And that's what I'm like, I have to buy this because I have to rectify it. So I took all the credit card debt I took and I paid the company. And I'm like, I'm going to turn this thing around. I'll be back up to 60K recurring, no time at all, because I'm going to push all my energy back into it. I took care. I reduced the monthly overhead. I think 17,500 a month on day one of owning that business. And so I'm like, I'm going to operate. I'm going to run this thing like a tight ship. Lost customer. Boom. Lost another customer. Boom. Same day, another customer. Boom. What is going on? Like, this is right when I signed the papers and I'm starting to pay him. What is happening? And now I'm in it all by myself. No one to whine to, no one to complain to. Within like 2-3 weeks, we went from like I went from like 45K recurring to about 12K recurring. And that wasn't even enough to cover my expenses. And I had no clue what was going on. And we had built our business on a grouping of people. It was a mastermind. And one of the guys at a higher level, he was a member of the mastermind, had emailed everybody telling them that we were going to ruin their business. And I'm like, I found this out. I'm like, what is going on? I called him. He wouldn't answer his phone. I messaged him. I finally sent him this message. I'm like, dude, I know what you're doing. I have zero clue. I've been trying to get a hold of you. I don't know. I have zero clue what's going on. Never, ever told me. He would never tell me. But I said, you are literally, I bought this business. You are literally ruining any income I have for my family right now for something I have no clue about. Still have no idea. He was just upset. So here I am. This brand new business took on all this debt. And I have just enough money to pay my staff. Like, you know, and pay a little on the debt. And then for me, it was like, sorry, hon, we're like screwed. Like, I don't know what to do. And found out later that he kind of has a habit of doing this to companies. He goes all in. He loves them, loves them, loves them. And then tells everybody how horrible they are and just dumps them. This is how I found out he did it to like 4 different people that were serving him. Like, I don't know. So this VA is for Jim's business because it's working great. It's now not paying me. And I got a phone call, referral, and it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I need this. I got on the phone with this gal, and the whole time I'm like, she does not fit my model. I need to pay my bills so bad. And this gal is on the phone. She needs a VA really bad, but we're a service, like an all-in service where you don't get a VA. And out of the blue, God-given thing, I say, you know what? I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to recruit and hire a really great virtual assistant for you because I don't think you fit my model, but I'll charge you $500 and I'll find you a VA specifically for your needs and I'll help you. And so I did this, boom, she was so excited. I'm really good at recruiting. I'm really good at training. Well, people who have VAs have no clue how to use them. So here I am. She starts sending me people, person after person after person. I start like, okay, $500. Okay, I made $10,000 this month. I can actually eat. And I was just hammering these out. All the meantime, every single minute of the day I was coaching her, she would be texting me, how do I do this? And what do I do here? And what about this scenario? And how do I pay? And I'm just sitting here teaching her all this stuff. And after a month or two, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm spending all this time coaching these people. I'm not making any money, but I was so focused on feeding my family. Right. I mean, like, so a new business was born out of that. And I dialed it in to where like, now I have the support system so they don't have to do that. I have figured it out how I can help them be successful and from the get go and really gain success leveraging virtual assistants. And then I changed my market to, you know, business owners that have like teams, typically they might have 2 or 3 employees or they have 10, 15, whatever it is. And we'd start getting higher level and higher level and higher level VAs. So we were saving people. I was placing engineers in engineering companies. Like, so they were saving like $100,000 a salary. And they're like, Scott, they're better performing than my on-site And I'm like, I know. And so then the business just, it just absolutely exploded. So God really provided. He gave me an answer in a moment of, wow, I was doubting who I was and what I could do. And it's just been a wild ride since then.
Man.
Wow.
Okay. So that was only like a year and a half ago, right? Where it was down to like right. 12K. And what are you doing now?
This month will be at 165 of recurring revenue, 165,000 in recurring revenue.
In like 15 months. That's crazy.
Yeah. And by end of the year, we'll easily be 200,000. And you know, it's just growing. So
you're just placing VAs. Did any of what you were doing before in terms of like coaching come into a product, or is it just like, hey, yeah, we find you and train them and then they're yours? Like, what is the actual model?
We actually find very skilled, already proven, we call them virtual professionals. Right. And we provide, it's really a white glove service. So when they come in, we're not training the virtual professional, let's say in, you know, they're going to be a cold caller or an appointment setter, or they're going to be an executive assistant, which is one of the most powerful things. Getting an integrator in your company, because a lot of people are visionaries, we actually are placing integrators in. I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. So we get these ones that have, we're using data, all these things that we've learned, recruiting these really high level people, and we're placing them in a company. So they're coming to the table with pretty much everything that the person needs for them to really succeed. So we provide full support for that virtual professional. So, you know, we're kind of like a staffing agency. We're paying them their salary. We're paying them their year bonus. We're paying for their health insurance. We're coaching them. If they want training to up level, we'll pay somebody who's better at something than them. Like, let's say they want to be a better video editor, we'll get one of our very high level video editors. We'll pay them on the weekend some extra money to train them to be a better video editor. So we have this whole internal circle of support and growth for the virtual professional. But then I consult with the owner. So if the owner is having trouble, or the client is having trouble, or isn't quite sure how to do something, you know, I really know a lot about SOPs and processes and just kind of building a business. So I help in that range. And then we're mediators. A lot of people fire VAs just over cultural things that people don't understand. So when something weird's going on, we come in. I have an incredible team. My entire team's in the Philippines, by the way, except for my two sales guys. And so they are like, they'll swoop in and find out information. And then we coach and we talk. We save all of these relationships, and it just grows these businesses and these employees, if you will, even better. And it's just, so we're white glove. And so then if there's a problem or somebody has a life change, we'll replace them for free. So we're like, we're at the service of our client. And then the big thing that's happened lately is our client's like, hey, I want another one. And we're like, okay. So we don't, you know, we just go and hire another one. We don't charge that initial fee that we normally have. So we've built teams of 13 deep. So I have one client who's built an entire marketing vertical on his business. Like, he has from building out go high levels to like lead nurture specialists to SEO to blog writers, all of it. He's hired all of those through me. He's actually selling his marketing service to other people with our staffing. And then he's also done the same on an admin. He does a certain business style. So he's built out admin SOPs, and now he just connects with the other businesses doing that. He says, hey, do you have a good admin system? And boom, he's just plugging our sourced admin in to their businesses with their systems. And this is starting to happen over and over again. People are like, hey, I need this person. And then I need this person. I need this person. And we're just there supporting them the entire way and improving and changing and hiring and training. And so it's just been an incredibly, incredibly exciting journey. I want to tell one story. I know I'm talking a lot and you're not asking a lot of questions, but I want to tell one story.
That's great.
So because I want business owners to get a vision of how powerful overseas talent can be when it's done right. The very first girl I hired, her name is Chloe, for this higher VP role. She came in and I was doing one-time placements. At the time I was charging $1,000. And she's like, hey, I interviewed her for a client. I was looking and I'm like, I really like you. I don't know what it is, but I want to offer you a job. I didn't have the money to pay her. I want to offer you a job. I need some help. I'm growing. She came in and she just basically mirrored me. Every meeting, every sales call, everything, all my emails, everything. She just mirrored me. And then a few weeks in, she's like, okay, I'm ready to start interviewing. Oh, cool. Okay, I could take that off my list because I was like nonstop. I'd interview like 15, 20 people a day. All of a sudden, she's interviewing. Whew. Next thing I know, she sends me a message. Hey, I have this idea. I'm like, okay. And she implemented it. She pitched it. She implemented it, wrote SOPs for it. And now the interviewing process is better. And then she keeps doing this. Hey, I have this idea for our clients. I created this presentation. Check it out. I'm like, holy crap, I haven't even gotten to this level. I just tell them, hey, here's your three candidates. Let's interview them. You know, just like I have them. Then we get on the phone, they'd interview them. Now we have videos coming to them, like this whole video presentation thing where they'd see them talking and hear them and kind of get an idea of who they were before they even had to interview them. So now we're reducing the interview time because they're saying, oh my gosh, I like those two, the other two, not so much. And she did is just kept taking roles from me, writing SOPs, improving, and I'm sitting here just cranking things out, right? And then I started to say, you seem really stressed. She's like, I am really busy. I'm like, I can imagine. I've done all this. And I said, take all the SOPs, pick the ones you don't like doing, and let's create a job and hire. So we did. Boom, hired our first hire. So her first hire was Margaret. Margaret started doing a lot of admin things, building out this presentations. And then Chloe again, I'm like, Chloe, like you're doing phenomenal, but now you seem like you're working all hours again. You're messaging me on Saturdays and Sundays, and that's just not how I want you to live. Let's look at your SOPs. Boom, hired a recruiter. Now we're like 9 people deep. She has built the SOPs and chosen what they were, and then we hired for that. So we've taken her. She's learned everything about the business. And she even knows how American business owners think now. And so she was my air quotes executive assistant. Before I know it, she's literally running the company. So now she's the director of operations, a Filipino who's making probably what would be equivalent to $200,000-$300,000 a year here. Now, I mean, she's making great money. She's running my business. It's insane. Wow. And every time I'm ready to kind of offload a little more in my life, we put it into SOPs, of course, and we hire. And so my role is to be the face of the company, think much bigger. We have some really exciting things I'm working on, right now. And so I like to tell that story because we've done this for other companies too. We hire these people with really high integrator skills, and they come in and they learn about the business from the inside out. And then they start actually taking pieces from the owner and giving them the mental clarity to continue to build. It's been a really fun process.
That was one of my questions, so I'm glad you answered that. But a follow-up question to that is like, do you recommend people go for the integrator first?
So we had this conversation yesterday with a client. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. I've got 3 companies. I'm doing all these things. I'm like, you need an executive assistant who can help you really start to get a handle on this. She's like, I know. And we were looking for a creative for her, a video editor, content creator, social media manager, right? And I'm like, well, how badly do you need this? She's like, really bad. I'm like, okay. Ideally, we would hire you an executive assistant who would kind of get a hold of everything. Then we would hire you this creative person, and the executive assistant manages the creative person. See how that works? Now you are like that. You got this one person who's 2 steps ahead of you, helping you really fine tune things, but they're kind of the project manager and they're running everybody else. So ideally it makes sense that if it's financially viable to get somebody to duplicate you. And if you're a visionary, not to duplicate you, but to become the integrator. So it really depends, but this is where my nerd status comes in. You know, do you need someone that's on the opposite of the spectrum of you? Do you need that missing puzzle piece? Do you need that person I needed someone duplicating me because I'm an operator. I needed someone to come in here to actually give me space to be more visionary. and to do more marketing, you know, that. And so I get really nerdy with people when I talk with them, like, let's talk about what it is you're doing. What can we offload at this point so that you can do higher valued activity? What's going to move the needle in your business is actually for you is actually editing videos and audio going to raise, you know, build my business? No, but you have to have a baseline of customers and clients to support that. And, you know, I hired Chloe a little bit before I could hire her or afford her, but it paid me back tenfold within 15 days.
Because how much how much are you hiring like an executive assistant for? Because I know like I'm thinking in Canadian dollars and I'm paying like $1,000 for my, or 800 yep. US, 800 US yep. for my assistant. What would an executive assistant cost me who could shadow me and then be me and then it, like, you know, make things better?
So through our service, it would be $2,000 a month. US.
Okay.
But that is including all the costs.
Yeah. Like when everything you just said for $2,000, it's like,
yeah,
okay, I guess I need like a couple more clients and then I need to have a call with you.
Yeah, it's really fun to get that person that comes on the phone and be like, excuse me. And I'm like, oh gosh, here they go. They're gonna say that's way expensive. And they're like, are you kidding me? Like, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm gonna save, I was planning on for this role to pay $100,000 a year. I'm like, yeah. I know it's going to be 24K, but you know, and it's straight. There's no other fees. There's no taxes, whatever. But yeah, it's been game changer. Like I said, I have clients that are saving, you know, over $150,000 a year in staffing. And they're like, it feels too good to be true, but they're outperforming anybody I've ever hired before. And so for me, that's cool. For me, the fact that, you know, my company's doing 160 and climbing in recurring revenue, that's great. But what's way more exciting is the fact that it took me so long to figure this out that I'm helping people shortcut. I'm helping people kind of cut through the working every minute of your life to make ends meet, which I did, to, hey, I have a little bit of a shortcut for you so that you can stay active in your family, in your church, in the things that you really need to be staying active in. That's really where I get a lot of joy. The big aha moments for people is like, oh my gosh, I can finally just ignore my email at night and not worry about it, which is true. I mean, it's an insane feeling. Like if I don't get to my email, it doesn't matter because typically there will be a response. I'm like, what the heck? I've never written an email that good. Oh, it wasn't me that replied. But it's the freedom and the big aha moments like you just had. Like if I could get somebody to do that, Kurt, I know your business. You could literally only focus on talking to people through podcasting and whatever else and just networking and having a good time. That's my job right now. So podcasting, I love masterminds. So I join masterminds and I engage. I got to go this weekend and present to a bunch of business owners on how to do SOPs. Like I'm in my sweet spot. I'm doing the teaching part. I'm doing the connection part. I'm traveling a little bit. And so helping people understand that owning a business does not mean you have to own a job. And it doesn't mean that if you want to offload, it doesn't have to be super expensive. I'm all about hiring local people. Trust me. But if it can be done, if it has to be done face-to-face, sure, it's local. Outside of that, in my opinion, you're probably going to have more consistent, higher level if you hire overseas Filipinos and the right people. I mean, obviously, that's something that we have figured out, hiring the right people, because you're going to be able to offer more opportunities because you're going to be able to offer much better service to your clients because you can afford to. And that's what's really exciting for me as well. Like I said, my entire team's Filipino. It's for my two sales guys. And like even my customer journey and customer support person that we're hiring or working with right now is Filipino. And I'm like, she's amazing. Like clients are going to be thrilled. They're going to have just insane customer service. And another thing is like, they speak amazing English. Like my team, you don't have a hard time listening to them. You don't have a hard time understanding what they're saying. It's not broken. You know, you can tell, but it's just really not, it's not distracting at all. And a lot of people have experience with Philippine call centers. Well, they're hiring the $2 an hour person who has no experience, and they're you can barely understand them, because as soon as they can talk well, they're moving on up into a leadership position, and I'm hiring all the people that are in the leadership positions because I'm paying them twice, three times more, and they get to work from home instead of traveling 2 hours to get home, right? So
it's a pretty good deal for all around, and that's I would say that too, because I've been on Upwork for like, I don't know, 10 years, and I've hired the gamut. And this particular person that I'm working with now, you helped me along the way with a lot of tips before I hired her. And even then I'm like, I'm doing nothing right. I need to like just hire you through you because I can see where I'm not performing well. But even so, it's been a game changer. And she's now been with me for 15, 16 months. Super consistent, incredible person. A question that came up when you just said, I think you said something about focusing on marketing. I'm like, whoa, you don't do any advertising. And that's always bugged me. Because I'm like, okay, that's nice, Scott, but like, where am I going to tell people? And you're just like, oh, it's word of mouth. And that honestly bugs the crap out of me, because I'm like, well, whose mouth? Like, for me, I look at my thing and I'm like, well, whose mouth? And hilariously enough, my current client roster all came through me just talking to them. They're already people I knew. They're already people who knew me. And it's like, well, how do I scale that? And that's been the disconnect for me. So can you talk about your view on relational marketing, how you do it? You just post on Facebook, and I looked at it. You've got like thousands of followers. I'm like, what? So obviously this is a quote unquote, 10-year overnight success. But can you talk about this? Like, does this apply to me? Does this apply to the new entrepreneur? How are you doing this?
Yeah. And I will tell you, you can't just turn up the dollar spend to get more people. Right. So,
well, that's what I want. And that's why this is so challenging.
Yes. And that's what makes this, it does make it challenging. I was just telling you before we started, one of my referral sources kind of ended up being very sneaky. And once he saw my P&Ls, because he was my financial guy, next thing I know, he started a competing business. And so, he was sending me a good amount of leads. And so it's a tough way to do it, but it's a long game, but it really doesn't take that long. Adding value to people's lives is something I absolutely enjoy. If I can get on a phone call, here's how I approached it from the very beginning. If someone gets on a phone call with me and they're like, I can't afford your services. And I think I kind of did this with you. It wasn't about the money. It's just, we had a connection. I'm like, get out a pad, paper and a pencil. I'm going to give you like a cheat sheet to hiring someone amazing. And it's going to be tough, but my mindset from the beginning was like, not that everybody needs to be a customer, but that I need to treat them in such a way, but that they have no other reason to send anybody anywhere else if they're talking about virtual assistants. So that is number one, was how do I treat every single person I come across like they are gold to me, because even if I don't sell them, if I treat them that way, it's going to circle back around. I've got referrals from people that could not afford me. They're like, hey, I got this friend. Boom. So referrals are huge. The other thing is, is social marketing. Social marketing is living your life, being loud about your life. I'm not obnoxious on social media. I probably post a VA related thing maybe once a week, maybe. A lot of business stuff, a lot of talk about, hey, it's a struggle, or, are you doing too much work, or whatever the case may be at the moment. But, just always kind of there trying to add value and letting people know what I do, but also giving value. And it's a long play. And then joining groups and not going in to sell, but going in for real relationships, and real relationships will end up in referrals. And so it's not the reason I go into join a mastermind. I go in and join a mastermind to create relationships. And I'll create a relationship with anybody that is a good fit for me, whether they're going to be a client or not. That's not what matters, but it just follows. And if you're authentic and you're helping, you got that help first mentality, it's going to come around. And so I get Facebook leads, introductions. It depends. It's ebbs and flows. On a bad week, maybe 3. On a good week, maybe 15. And then I've been on podcasts. I was on a podcast in October, maybe. November, December, and January actually absolutely blew up my business. And so I'm on the other end of this massive influx. I'm on the other end of it. So it feels like I'm getting nothing, but the leads are still coming in because it's just a long play. It's just a long play. And so just be different. I don't know what else to say.
So the thing that comes to mind, and I think this is true for me. I've got a very small, very new business right now. That's just the result of me trying to listen to God and stop dad work. But I could never, I don't think, have started this with the small amount of clients I have now, even if I had not gone through the last 3 years. Those relationships led directly to me having even a tiny business right now.
Right.
Is it, do you think, true that there are simply some opportunities that require you to have gone through other things first? Like if I tried to do this 5 years ago with no contacts, I don't know where I'd start. And so this wouldn't have been my opportunity. Does that make sense? Like you kind of have to ripen or what?
No, it's an absolute must. And a lot of people don't understand that. So I have several things I want to talk about with this. Is one, when I got I have a coach right now. I'm always going to have somebody who's incentivized to help me. This guy is ridiculously, if I said one of the brands that he helped bring to like huge pinnacle status, you'd be like, holy crap. He's done this multiple times. So he's my coach. And on the second call with me, he said, hey, Scott, I want you on the next call to come back in a week and tell me what you wish you could do over again. I go, okay. So I'm all week, I'm like toiling over this. I said to my wife the day before I was meeting with him, I'm like, I can't say that I would do anything over again, because when I start to build it backwards, every single thing that was totally crappy was the catalyst for this one little thing. Maybe it led me to meet this person. And then this person became this person. And then this happened here. I can't retrace anything that I could take away where I would be in the same place I am today. And I would not trade that for anything, because we're just getting started. And I said, I'm going to have to be honest with him. So I get on the phone with him. And at the end of the call, I'm like, hey, I've been thinking about your question. He goes, tell me what you're thinking. I said, you know what? I'm ready for the backlash, but there's absolutely nothing that I would do differently. I said, I failed so much in so many small ways, but if I'd changed any of those, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. In my relationship, you know, my wife and I can speak into people's lives on a very high level because of the stuff we've been through. I can help men be better fathers because of the crappy father I was and what I've had to climb out of. I can help people see business things from a different perspective because I've been through all of it. So I said this to him, and he's like, Scott, and this isn't to lift me up, but I felt great. He's like, most of my clients don't pass that test. He's like, every single thing you've gone through is what's got you here today. Doesn't matter how bad it was. It's what's got you here today. And so I passed. I was really excited. And then I've really clung on to this thing I heard from Dan Sullivan, strategic coach, great, great business guy, mind. If you haven't read The Gap and the Gain, and Who Not How, those are books you have to read at some point. And then eventually you can read 10X is easier than 2X. However, don't read that until you've figured out Who Not How, which you can think you have, but you probably haven't. You probably have hired 5 people through me or someone like me before you're ready for 10X is easier than 2X. So he said in an audio version, which kind of like a podcast format for The Gap in the Gain, at the very end, he said something about being non-fragile. I'm like, whoa, that's a really cool saying. And so I went back and listened to it, you know, and then he brought it up, I think, in Who Not How, the author, Ben Hardy, who co-authored. And I'm like, So I went back and studied this anti-fragile. And I believe that when we become anti-fragile is when we become unstoppable. So most people focus on being resilient. I want to be strong. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to be able to protect my family. I want to be able to provide for my family. That's resilience. I want someone to be able to, try and hurt me and me be okay. That's resilience. Anti-fragile is where you take every single thing that happens to you and you make it for good. And I think that's what God wants us to do. And so anti-fragile is like, this thing happened to me, and you're going to hear this a lot, but you know what? It didn't. This happened for me. How can I find out what this thing right here has done that is going to help me or has helped me? And I started to latch onto this anti-fragile, started to break everything apart through all my businesses in life. And I'm like, oh, I was a victim in this thing. And I started looking at it. I'm like, no, here's what I can take away from that. Or here's what I did take away. So I took all these old things that I was like, these happened to me. And I started to trace it back and rebuild how I believed that, how the stories I was telling myself to, no. Those didn't happen to me. Those happened for me. And here's why. And here's why I became a teacher. Oh, I get it now. I get it. And so when, once we become anti-fragile, which, you know, it's a long journey, is when you can really start to gain momentum. And so that's really that difference in the gap in the game viewpoint, like not where I haven't gotten to, but where have I, that reverse engineering of where I've come. Like everything you're doing, Kurt, like you know, you went through your thing and I'm not doing dad work anymore. And I think for you, and I'm speaking on your behalf and you could fix this, it was very stressful. And this whole time I'm listening to you going, yeah, it sucks, but there's a reason for it, right? And how do I console you? I'm just listen, but there is a reason you're not doing this. There is an absolute reason. And God has a bigger picture. I know you're making a huge impact, but there is a bigger picture going on here than you understand. And it's that shift in the mindset where you start to go next level.
Yeah. Yeah. And the verse that always comes to mind with that is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And I had forgotten the rest of that verse other than lean not on your own understanding. And so I was going through this, trying to hold on to scripture, but actually taking that out of context a little bit because I had not trusted in God with all my heart. And I had not, you know, I had not acknowledged him in all my ways. And I wasn't trusting that he was making my path. I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. Everything's terrible. But I see now, and it's so silly because this is why I think it's important to have someone like you in my life, someone like your coach in your life, because I would have just gone off the deep end. And I already did that, even though I had all these people around me. So that was very important to have you. Okay, so I want to make sure that before we leave, we'll only do a few more minutes. What I've noticed in the people that I'm having on this podcast, and just people I'm friends with, there's a lot of projects. There's a lot of people who are like, oh yeah, I started that thing. It didn't really go anywhere, but like I'm doing it. And I'm thinking for you, like even the poster I'm looking at behind you, right? Like the Brotherhood of Fatherhood. You've got these little things that you're just doing and would probably always do regardless of whether it was a business or not. The guy I was talking to yesterday, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, we own this like little boutique hotel. And oh yeah, we got this co-working space. And oh yeah, I got this little like email thing. I'm like, well, what's your actual business? He's like, oh, I'm a lawyer. I'm like, well, like, but you're doing all these things. It's just like, it's in the psyche. Surely you have either seen businesses or industries that you're excited about, have had to stop yourself from starting new business ideas. And this is the part that I would love to have every episode. I don't know if it's going to work, but I love talking about business ideas. And for the guy who's sort of like the entrepreneur, the guy who's not yet launched his business, do you have anything on the top of your head where you're like, man, this is a sweet business. This industry's blowing up. I see whatever that looks like. What are you excited about right now?
I first want to give a huge caveat. I want to give a big warning. So for the last 13 months, and I think Hormozy said this, and Hormozy drives me crazy, but he does come up with some brilliant things or repeats some brilliant things. Inch wide, a mile deep. So what I did with hire VP is I went an inch wide, a mile deep. So VAs for Gyms is sat over here. It's operating. It's making me money every month now. It's 100% ran by my Filipino team over there. It's working. Like I just took all my focus and got, and you've heard this before, laser focused on hire VP. And there were a ton of distractions. The reason I am where I am is because I let nothing in. Brotherhood of Fatherhood, I stopped the podcast. And every opportunity came across, stopped. I just like, boom, it was all no. And so first of all, you have to have something built so well that you can take your energy and reshift it and still feed into this enough that you're not going to break it down, because I've done that before. And so first of all, don't lose sight until you have this thing dialed in, because where are you stealing that time and energy? You're either stealing it from that company or you're stealing it from your family, which, or God, which one are you willing to do? For me, it's none. And so right now I'm in that mode of where I'm hiring out everything I do except for what I want to do. And so now my brain is like blowing up. So I should have came more prepared. There's some, I'm in an incredible group. If you have it in your area, it's called Kingdom Business Owners, and insane curriculum. And there's Bible verses around this. And one of them is something about taking the land. Exodus 23:31, and this is New Living Transition. And I will fix your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the eastern wilderness to the Euphrates rivers. I will hand over you the people now living in the land, and you will drive them out ahead of you. Take the land you are in that God has called you to. Take it. Let God take it and drive everybody else out. This is where you dial in. You're an inch wide, a mile deep. You are taking over the industry in that area. Right now, my agency is providing a service I don't think anybody else is. So not only are we going to replace a VA in your company, virtual professional 1, 2, 3, 4, we also have another service that's only available to my clients that is just absolutely crushing it. And that is because I went and I'm like, I'm going to take this land. And God revealed to me these great ideas. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And so one, you got to take the land and let God push everybody out and before you move on. Those are all distractions, because we're entrepreneurs, visionaries. We want to do. Now I'm in this place where I have a goal of a certain level of everything's offloaded and working really well before I focus on the next thing. But the next thing I'm actually focusing on is that actual physical footprint in the Philippines. So I'll be traveling to the Philippines this year. You can't have an office or a company there without local ownership. So I have to come up and I gotta offer Chloe some ownership in another company. And we are likely, a lot of small businesses are having a really hard time with lead nurture, phone services, all of that. So I want to put together one which provides an incredible opportunity for Filipinos, because the call centers in the Philippines are horrible. You go in, you travel forever. Lots of times you're sleeping there because it's so hard to get to and from work. You work crazy hours. You get paid beans. I want to go in and pay them what I'm paying now, which is ridiculously good, where they only have to go to work 20% of the week. They can work from home. I got to figure out the phone systems. I got to figure all this out so that we can provide a stellar service to our clients. To our clients that relieves them of their biggest concern right now, which is incoming and outgoing phone calls and lead nurture. And so that's my next thing. And it's big and it's really scary, but it's a massive opportunity. And so I want to be a disruptor of the industry. I want to bring a different way of doing it. So this year we'll send $1 million to the Philippines in money. All that means to me is that we're impacting lives on a completely different level. All eyes are on me as their company leader, right? They're all looking at me. What do I hope that they see? I hope they see a Christ-likeness. I hope they see that I am unashamedly a Jesus follower. I hope they see that and want that. And so how do I do that? The more money I'm over there, we're paying so much money, it's ridiculous, right? And like the average salary is $1.36 per hour if you work in the Philippines for a Philippines company. We're just crushing that. And so the impact is big. I want to be a disruptor. We brought the word virtual professional. Now I know three other owners who are using, I wish I would have trademarked it. They've completely pivoted their entire terminology from VA to virtual professional. And so I disrupted the industry, said, hey, no, we're not doing VAs. We're doing VPs. Because we're bringing people with skill to you. We're bringing college graduates to you. We're bringing people that have proven themselves to you, because it's insanely amazing. And so I disrupted the industry a little bit there. And now I want to disrupt this other part of the industry and make it a better opportunity for all these amazing skilled people and help businesses thrive. So it's really hard, because I've been offered a partnership just yesterday. I was offered a two consulting jobs to help other people build agencies the week before. And it's, I just have to envision this little tiny crack in the ground that goes a mile deep, and that's where I have to stay. And so I would say yes, but be careful.
Okay. Well, so does that mean that you just have been like unable to think about other business ideas then? Like what happens? Do you still have like a capture system for other ideas for later then?
Oh yeah.
Cause I know you're big on capture. We won't get into that, but, do you have a couple of those off the top of your head that other people could do or no?
So
something that you don't have time to do and you'll never get to, for example.
Oh, I want to have a coffee shop. I absolutely want to have a coffee shop. There's so many of them, and I do. I just capture them because in later times they won't seem very sexy to me. I want to own a bunch of home services businesses. You know, I absolutely do. I want to start buying businesses from boomers who don't know how to get out, and I have systems and processes down to the, you know. So
ooh,
I want to buy.
Fascinating. Yeah, you should. That's a great idea.
So for me, I have to get this to a $5 million a year company. That's kind of just like that. That's where I've got to be. And then I can really focus elsewhere. And it's because I have bigger ideas. You know, we have a huge idea of owning a massive property with a lot of Airbnbs on it that we can gift to couples to come as a retreat. So if they're in this, especially entrepreneurial couples, so they don't get in the scenario my wife and I were, you know, we were still really good friends. Neither of us cheated. You know, it's not like a horror story, but we just were on this parallel path. Maybe on a 1/16th of an inch off of each other moving that far. You know, it wasn't we were 1 inch moving away, but it's still destructive. So we have big visions like that. That is definitely one that I have to really push down because my wife's, we've gone to Montana like 4 times to look at properties with the realtor. And it could be a distraction, but for me, it's like, that's why I have a coach. He's like, no. Here's how much you have to have in the bank before you even think about anything. And so someone telling me that has been very helpful.
What, if I'm just listening to this and I'm like VAs, business ideas, is there like a plug and play model that you've seen work with VAs or, like a specific agency, a specific industry that someone could just like, oh yeah, suddenly we've got marketing or suddenly we've got websites or like.
Yep. Any agency model, and here's the deal. There's a lot of people out there doing this agency model. I've been the victim of them, of hiring VAs, not BPs, hiring VAs and just saying, hey, do the work. I was a victim. I lost $5,000 last year to a really horrible situation like that. It's so common and done so wrong because the person just sees quick money and it's bad. But then I have friends who are running these ridiculously amazing high-level services using Filipino team members, but the foundation was built right. The SOPs were built right. The customer service was built right. The client onboarding was built right. So do the work, get it set up. You know, I won't mention your industry. That's one I've done. It was very well done. You know, anybody comes to me, I'm pushing them to you at this point because it's not my focus, my inch wide, mile deep. Marketing, SEO, web building, go high level agency. Actually, we have a guy building an admin agency for his industry, which is home rentals or management. So rental management, Airbnb management. I could go on and on because we've placed hundreds of people in these types of businesses, but you could build almost anything if you have the knowledge about it. And I will tell you what, I suck at marketing. I know nothing about it. I know relationship marketing, and I know enough in like paid ads and everything to get me in trouble. But the thing here is you got to know yourself. So like, if you're like, hey, I'm going to just start building websites for people. I talked to someone the other day, like I have no clue how to build websites, but I'm going to just hire people and let them do them. I'm like, don't. Because you can't guide them. Because I've tried to hire VPs, people we have in our system who built these ridiculously amazing websites. I'm like, build me one. And it comes back. I'm like, this sucks. And I'm like, this isn't anything like I want. Guess what the missing piece is I didn't tell them what I want because I have no clue. I don't know how to take my vision in my head. And so I need someone who's going to walk me through step by step by step. So for me to just say, hey, just plug it in and it's good. You just have to understand where your genius is. My genius is in operations. So we do have a plug and play admin service for gym owners. Total plug and play. you know? So you can build any non eyeball to eyeball, shoe to shoe lace business on the backbone of virtual professionals.
Exciting, man. Okay. I think that's good for round one, because I'm sure that we'll have to do this multiple times. That's what happened on the Data Work podcast. So where should people find HireVP and following you and anything else?
So it's Scott Ramage, two T's, two M's, and R-A-M-M-A-G-E on Instagram and Facebook. Everything goes through Facebook first. Sometimes things hit Instagram as a result. And then I can't believe you found anything on LinkedIn, but once in a while I go in there and plug something in. Because I'm horrible at websites and it's not where I'm focusing right now, it's hirevp.us, and it's a landing page, because I could have somebody build a landing page very easily. So hirevp.us is our spot, and that's where you can find me, book a call, and I have an awesome sales team, and I'm even in the mix, so you might get me.
All right, amazing, Scott. Thank you for being here. We will put that in the show notes. I literally don't even know what this is called, so I can't direct people to it yet. But if you're listening to this, it means it does have a name. Go to the show notes, find everything like that, hirevp.us. Scott, thanks, man. I really appreciate you.
Thank you very much.